everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are unpacking the pros and cons of the toy hauler RV. Toy haulers have been around for a while, but they have grown in popularity over the last couple of years.
If you have been looking at toy haulers recently, you may have noticed that many have received a facelift, acquiring residential finishes along with patio decks and tailgating kitchens.
We have an interview with Jayco's Mike Applin, product manager for the toy hauler line at Jayco, who will tell us all about his toy haulers and what's trending these days and who's buying the product.
Then we will hash it all out. Why might a toy hauler be the perfect option for us? And what features give us pause?
You might think that the toy hauler is only an option for NASCAR drivers and bikers, but we here at RVFTA have been considering this as an option for our own merry band of pirates. You are listening to episode number 67, Pros and Cons of a Toy Hauler.
So before we head into our featured topic this week, the pros and cons of a toy hauler, we want to thank our friends over at RV Trader. RV Trader has all the tools you need to find or sell your RV. To start your search today, visit rvtrader.com. And now,
we need to round up the news.
We've got news to round up. It's been a big week at RVFTA Worldwide Headquarters.
One of the biggest weeks ever. Yeah. And why is that? Let's cut right to it.
Okay, so we'll start with big news, not the biggest news, but big news. Our travel article in the Good Sam Travel Guide, right? About family camping.
Yes, it's out.
It's
and
out.
Saturday morning, we woke up and we drove to Camping World and we bought a copy.
Yeah, we're supposed to get our copy, but it hasn't come yet and we're not patient.
And one of the workers saw us kind of looking at the photos and kind of talking about it. And she was kind of looking over. So I said, oh, we wrote an article in here. And then she asked Max and Theo for their autographs and they proceeded to run and hide in the corner.
And then Wes gave her
autograph. Gave an autograph. Yes.
So that's Wes.
Our 10 minutes of fame at Camping World.
Yeah.
And the article looks great. My goodness, the selections of photos looks great. The article's really good. And I just wanted to say that the whole Good Sam travel guide this year looks awesome. And partly because it's the 50th anniversary of Good Sam. So they really kind of snazzied this one up. Mm-hmm. It has a gold cover. It's got an article on the history of Good Sam and Camping World. So run out and get it.
Our article's on page 62. It starts on page 62. And has a bunch of our photos with it. But it's all about planning and implementing that perfect family RV trip.
Finding the perfect campsite, arriving with happy campers. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Our editor emailed us and said, oh, your article's on page 62. And it's like the Good Sam Travel Guide is so big. I think he like had like the concern that we might not find the article.
He wanted to make it easier for us because that's the kind of editor he is. He's wonderful.
We love him. We also have another article in the Good Sam Travel Guide.
We do.
We've been writing some snowbird articles. Why not?
We've been writing a lot of snowbird articles for Good Sam, not in the travel guide, in other places. And this sounds really funny. And, you know, it might strike some of you like snowbird articles. But really, when, you know, our editor first approached us about this, we kind of gave pause. And then we realized, like, we do travel writing. You know,
a lot of the same principles apply. Now, in Hollywood, there's a rule that like female actresses are not supposed to like take roles where they have to act older.
Yeah.
But that doesn't apply in travel writing.
No, we can act older. And all it does is really just get us ready to be snowbirds.
Oh, I'm dying to be a snowbird. In fact, one day there'll be a snowbird podcast and we'll be the hosts.
Yeah. So we're like getting to be experts because that's what journalism is, right? Like you research a topic and you write about it. So we've been doing a lot of research on snowbirds and what they do and where they go and what they should look for. for, and we're going to be ready for our term in the sun.
Check out our two articles in the Good Sam Travel Guide. The bigger news this week, not to diminish the 50th anniversary of the Good Sam Club and the Good Sam Travel Guide, is that we launched our third podcast in the RVFTA Podcast Network, and we feel like proud parents right now, don't we?
Yeah, we were really happy to get this out. And we, some of you may have heard us refer to the RVFTA Podcast Network before, and you were like, okay, you've got two podcasts. Is that really a network? And, you know, I don't know.
Two podcasts does not a network make.
But three does.
Three does.
And we were so thrilled. There were two really big podcasts that came out last week. The first one was Serial.
Season two of Serial came out last week.
Oh my gosh.
And on the same day.
On the same day.
Campground of the Week came out. Now, we did not do this intentionally. Because we don't control the day it comes out. We submit them ahead of time, and then iTunes decides when they come out. So sort of a cosmic joke that we came out on the same day as the most popular podcast in the history of podcasting.
Right.
But that's okay. We still had a great weekend.
We did. And all three of our network podcasts were in the top 10 in the travel section at iTunes.
And
that made us
pretty darn happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had one at number 4, one at number 6, and one at number 8. So we felt like we were dominating the travel podcasts in the iTunes store. So thank you to every single one of you.
Thank you.
That downloaded Campground of the Week and subscribed to Campground of the Week.
Yeah, you're so supportive. And we've gotten tons of feedback about it. And we really hope that this fills a niche, right, for our audience with that love of campground reviews. We really feel that from our audience. We've heard that from our listeners over the last year. So we're trying to meet that need. And we're trying to do it from a less personalized angle, right? It's not the Jeremy and Stephanie Campground Review Hour. It is our correspondents,
team of correspondents
from all around the country.
From
right?
coast to coast. In fact, you and I have not even done a campground review yet in the first 5 episodes, because we dropped the first 5 episodes in the iTunes store, because that's the way you're supposed to do it.
We did. And then also you can check out the show notes over at campgroundoftheweek.com. And there's plenty of room to leave any comments below about that campground, if you've been there, about whether or not you want to go there.
Additional
questions for our correspondents, which I know that they will be happy to answer. We have awesome correspondents.
World class.
Oh my gosh, they're so awesome. We love them. Handpicked.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta.
All right, so of course we got some reviews for Campground of the Week in the first couple of days, and we just wanted to read a couple. First of all, we got a 5-star from Just Want Weather at a Glance, which is a really funny iTunes handle.
Don't we all?
I know. Like, who doesn't, right? That's a great name. So, and this person wrote, the Campground of the Week podcast hits every point on my campground research checklist. The podcast covers the campground with just enough detail to know if it's a campground that meets my specific requirements. Then the podcast branches out from the campground to cover the attractions and activities in the immediate area. Folks, this is my entire campground research workflow, all wrapped up in one handy location. This podcast is good in the car, but even better if you can listen while following along using Google Maps on your laptop or tablet. Good tip. We can zoom in and out over the area and get a good feel for space and distance while they describe the highlights. As an added benefit, the related website provides links to everything discussed during the podcast. This podcast is going to save me so much time in the future when researching new campground locations, but what I'm really looking forward to is those serendipitous discoveries that come from learning about new places I never knew existed. Great job.
This, I think, is my favorite review ever, and we've said that before, and for two reasons. One, because this person clearly thinks this is a really useful podcast, which gets me excited. Mm-hmm. And then he gives this amazing tip.
Or Shay.
I never would have thought to use to be looking at Google Maps while you're listening to the Campground of the Week podcast so that you're seeing everything that we're talking about. Brilliant idea. Yeah. I would not have thought about that.
I did not write this review, and you did not write this review.
And my mom didn't write it either.
No, and this review, really, like, I could copy and paste this into our marketing materials for the podcast,
I think
right?
We will. I think you already did.
I think I have to put this on the website.
So thank you so much for dropping that and for that great tip. What a lovely idea to be using Google Maps while you're listening.
So then Susan Terrell wrote, again, 5 stars. Thank you, Susan. After doing a marathon of the first 5 podcasts, I can say I really enjoyed hearing about the different campgrounds. I learned so much that I can put to use while I'm planning my great American road trip. Great insider tips, information about the attractions in and around the campgrounds, and information about the cost to stay in each campground. Thanks for a great podcast.
Thank you for writing us a review. And anybody else out there, please drop us a review. It helps quite a lot.
Yeah, you can do it on your iPhone. You can go into the search feature on your podcast app. Just type in the name of the podcast, Campground of the Week. And then when we pop up, you'll see a little reviews tab. If you hit on that, you can write a review.
And those reviews help us stay in new and noteworthy. The podcast is in the new and noteworthy section for iTunes right now for travel. And those reviews will help us stay there for a while.
Yeah. So thank you very much.
We have an exciting ornament contest going on. Okay. An RV ornament contest going on. So if you're putting photos up on it's Instagram only, if you're putting up photos on Instagram of your best RV ornaments, which people are, hashtag them RVFTA ornament. And we will give away a free copy of our book, The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations. We'll sign it and send it to you if you have the best picture of an RV ornament. And check out that gallery on Instagram right now. If you search hashtag RVFTA ornament, there's like 30 photos there.
And this isn't a joke contest either.
This is for real.
Those photos are like good, serious.
Man. People are throwing down the gauntlet with their ornament photos.
Taking it seriously.
You might not want to enter because it's like really competitive right now.
Yeah, don't embarrass yourself.
No, I want everyone to know how we're going to score this and how we're going to pick the winner. We're going to give a 1 to 10 score for the cuteness of the ornament, and we're going to give a 1 to 10 score for the composition of the photo. Okay, now a lot of you guys are rocking the cute ornaments, but then you don't always have the composition right. And then some of you have great composition, and then the ornament's like so-so. So
says the man who's been obsessed with his photography lately.
I have been getting obsessed
with my photography. He's getting a little high in his britches, right?
So look, I am having a hoot during this contest. So get involved, hashtag RVFTA ornament on Instagram. And we also said you could do tent ornaments, anything outdoorsy, canoes, whatever you have that's like kind of in that camping world.
Right. So we'll both score these separately.
And if there's a tie, we'll call in my mother. She worked at Hallmark for 20 years.
Right. And she inspired this contest because she got us the pop-up ornament.
She buys us a new RV ornament every year. And I started doodling around taking pictures of them this year. And I, light bulb, contest, why not? Okay. Yeah.
So we'll pick the winner on Christmas Eve.
And mentioning our book, it's available for pre-order on Amazon. Okay. So if you want to pre-order a copy of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations, it is on Amazon and it's on Barnes & Noble. You can go order a copy now. It comes out in May.
Okay. And speaking of buying books, you can also get our Adventure Guide to Acadia National Park if you're in the mood.
Wherever ebooks are sold.
Yeah. Or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, exactly. And then, oh, wait, if you're still in the mood for purchasing things, check out our apparel site at rvfamilytravelatlas.spreadshirt.com. If you can't find it, there's a link on the sidebar of our website. Just click on that and it'll take you right there and you can check
out. And you have t-shirts and sweatshirts for sale there now?
Yeah.
Awesome. Now listen, this podcast tonight, The Pros and Cons of a Toy Hauler, is the third in a series of podcasts. And it's a series we started over a year ago.
Yep.
Okay, we've been wanting to return to this series. We're really excited to get back in the groove. So we already did Pros and Cons of a Travel Trailer. That was episode 13. That was one of our most popular episodes. Mm-hmm. And we already did Pros and Cons of the Pop-Up Camper. That was episode 2.
Episode 2, which, of course, we don't even want to recommend.
Yeah, don't even go listen to that.
But people
if
do
you're
tell
shopping,
us.
If you're pop-up camper shopping.
Here's the thing. It's hard for us to listen to our earliest podcast episodes because we were figuring it out and learning. But at the same time, we still get emails from people saying that that Pros and Cons of a Pop-Up Camper has
informed their purchases.
Helped them. So listen to it. We should probably redo it. Right?
We should probably redo it, but we see this as a complete series. Mm-hmm. We want to do pros and cons of a Class C, of a Class A, of a Class B, of a hybrid travel trailer. So we're going to get back in that groove and knock these episodes out. I'm really excited to be doing the Toy Hauler episode tonight.
Yeah, and then the last episode that I want to point out, in case you missed it, is if you haven't bought for everybody on your holiday list yet, our gift guide was episode number 64. And our show notes for that episode, including all of the things that Kate recommended at the end of the episode.
All 72 items that our resident glamper, Kate,
all 134.
Recommended. She recommended 72 items in 72 seconds.
She's such an overachiever, as all food bloggers are, right? So all of those items are linked on our website, RV Family
Lots
Travel
of
Atlas.
Great gift ideas there. All right, we will be back in a second with our featured topic, Pros and Cons of a Toy Hauler. And now it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at RVTrader.com.
If you've been dreaming about the perfect RV for you and your family, RV Trader has a ton of resources to help you make the right decision.
With thousands of RVs for sale across the country, finding what you want is easy.
Helpful icons on the homepage will show you the difference between motorhomes, travel trailers, toy haulers, and truck campers. And once you pick the type you're looking for, you can narrow your search by make, model, state, and even price.
Also, if you're looking to upgrade or sell your current RV, RVTrader.com can help you do that too. Millions of local buyers shop every month and will contact you directly if interested in purchasing your unit.
RV Trader has all the tools you need to find and sell your RV. To start your search today, visit RVTrader.com.
And now it's time for this week's featured topic, pros and cons of a toy hauler. We've been talking about this episode for a long time. I'm excited to finally get here, and I'm excited that you scored this interview with Mike Applin from Jayco because he's like the master of toy haulers.
Yeah, on last week's episode, we sort of went through all of the different interviews that I did when we were down in Louisville, and I mentioned this one, and I mentioned some of the really interesting things that Mike threw out in this interview.
You gave a few sneak peeks.
So it was funny because then we got an email from one of our listeners, Jeff, about the toy hauler.
One of our listeners, Jeff, who's going to be at our rally at Lake and Wood this spring with his Jayco Octane toy hauler.
Little does he know he's going to be giving you a little tour.
Oh, no, I told him.
Oh, you did?
I told him. So we want to start the segment with this email from Jeff to get the whole thing rolling.
Right. So Jeff wrote, "Also, I just finished listening to the episode about the RV trade show. Regarding the toy hauler observations, both yours and the ones of the Jayco rep, I think they're spot on. We got the 2015 Jayco Octane T32C, the biggest travel trailer toy hauler Jayco makes, in May. We love the flexibility of being able to easily bring whatever toys are needed on a given trip, e.g., examples, bikes, kayaks, or a 10-foot rowboat, scooters, my motorcycle, tables, grills, and other random stuff I haven't even thought of yet, and still have a ton of creature comforts, such as 3 queen beds if you include the bunks in the garage, huge galley, recliners, really tall ceilings, generator, party deck, and huge holding tanks."
And the observation that Jeff refers to that he's saying you were spot on about and Mike Applin was spot on about was, I think you were talking about how Mike said no one would buy a house without a garage. And he thinks no one should buy a RV without a garage. Right.
So after that email, since we had already referenced the, you know, interview last week, and then, you know, we thought we're going to switch things up a little bit this week, right?
Yeah, we're going to start with the interview with Mike Applin. We usually kind of, we talk first, then usually throw it to the interview. For some reason, this time it felt better to do the interview first because Mike kind of gives us an education on toy haulers in general that really sets up the topic for us. And then when we go through pros and cons afterwards, I think we can refer back to the interview.
Yeah, I think when we were going through our show notes and really setting up the episode, we realized that we would be continually saying, well, you're going to hear Mike say
this. Yeah, we didn't want to say that. We wanted to refer back to it. Really, it's like we could have called this episode Toy Hauler 101, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this interview with Mike is like, it is like a basic education in toy haulers, like where have they been and where are they going?
Yeah. I mean, he's a very, like I said last week, I'm going to say it again, very interesting interview. This guy loves what he does. He is into the toy hauler and it's going to come across, right?
He's a toy hauler philosopher. He's the Zen master of toy haulers.
You just like that he told you could call him.
He did. And because I'm seriously moving in the direction of a toy hauler.
Yeah.
I think he kind of persuaded you a little bit that for us.
All right.
Jury's out.
Well, we'll say.
All right. Let's throw it to Mike.
So I'm here with Mike Applin, who is the Senior Director of Product Development for Toy Haulers at Jayco. And he is here to educate me a little more about toy haulers. Why don't you just introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them what you do at Jayco?
Absolutely. My name is Mike Applin, and I've been at Jayco now for just over a year and a half. Been in the industry for 18 years, And I actually left another manufacturer for the last 7 years to come. And basically, we restarted and reprogrammed the direction of this product and started from scratch. And we built it up from there.
All right, so it's a big deal to be debuting a lot of these now.
We finally have our first, all of our floor plans out right now. We started our first build, which is our 4212. It has a side patio and a rear patio back on January 23rd of this year. So from that point to now, we now have 7 floor plans that we're offering, as well as many new travel trailer floor plans.
All right, so you've come a long way, baby.
We have in a short amount of time. It's been a good ride.
Let's start with the basics. Toy haulers. What are they?
A toy hauler is kind of a generic term. A lot of people refer to it as that. I feel that it's much more than a toy hauler. I feel that it's more of a luxury crossover. And what I mean by that is that so many customers that never even thought about a product like this are crossing over into it. They're coming out of motorhomes. They're coming out of traditional high-end fifth wheels to join this type of a product because it's not built like a toy hauler. It doesn't look like a toy hauler. Most importantly, it's not warrantied like a toy hauler.
Where did it start out from years ago, and what does it look like now?
Toy haulers predominantly were a West Coast thing. You know, you have the sand dunes out there and a lot of motocross, and that's where the early history was. In today's marketplace, the motocross and the ATVs are still important to our business. However, it's really turned in or evolved into more motorcycles, a Harley Davidson or two, trikes, things like that. And quite honestly, we sell just about as many to people that don't even own toys.
And why do you think that is? Who is buying the toy hauler right now?
I firmly believe that, you know, just look at a house. Look at the housing market. If you were going to build or buy a new house today, you would certainly not build or buy one without a garage for resale value. So I always ask the customer, why would you own an RV without one?
Okay. So that's who's buying a toy hauler, is anyone who wants a garage.
I firmly believe that. I mean, if you think about it, it's the ultimate bunkhouse. It's like buying two RVs for the price of one. Think about the trade-in value. Think about the resale value. I mean, it's the ultimate bunkhouse. You know, you've got the second living room, second bedroom, or it's a garage. However you want to use it, that's totally up to you. Because when you buy a traditional fifth wheel or traditional travel trailer, that's what you're getting. You're getting a rear living or a rear entertainment or a bunkhouse. With this, it's literally two for the price of one.
Well, you mentioned luxury, like in that crossover definition that you gave. And we are sitting on a pretty soft...
This sofa, I actually have an exclusive. I designed this in conjunction with Seat Tech or Seating Technologies. It's a division of Lippert Components. And it's got some features like heat, massage. If you notice, it has folding backrest right here with UPS or USB 110 cup holders. It's just like your pickup truck. It has LED lights in the bottom, recliners in every sofa or every situation or seat. Residential refrigerators, ice, water, digital display, full 30-inch space saver microwaves, true Corian countertops. I even have a dishwasher option in one of the floor plans. Washers and dryers can be put in as well. They're all prepped. One bath, two full baths. I mean, you name it. We've got something for everybody's lifestyle.
Now, I posted a picture on our social media of those kitchens
that
are going
kitchen.
On out there. Can you describe those? Because people were like, what?
That is something that I've been working on for about 6 months with a company called L&W. It's actually a division of Jayco RV or Jayco Incorporated, my parent company. And really, if you think about it, in the toy hauler world, which I refer to, like I said, as luxury crossovers, it's impossible to have an outside camp kitchen. And if you do, you have to design the whole floor plan around it. And I hate to say it, but the rest of the floor plan isn't real good. And when you look at traditional travel trailers and fifth wheels, you see these outside kitchens or these, you know, these areas that are built into the floor plan. But once again, you have to put a bunk back there, and it really messes with the actual floor plan layout. So myself and an individual named Jamie Peck at L&W, we came up with the concept and the idea that it actually swings around on the back of where your ramp would go down that you drive up into the garage. So when you're going down the road, it's self-stored. When you get to where you're going, you unlock it, and it swings all the way around to the door side of the unit in the corner. It comes with a two-burner cooktop. It comes with a refrigerator. It has a barbecue grill. It has a TV bracket that it comes with. You have to provide your own 32-inch television.
Oh,
but I know.
Come on.
I couldn't swing it. But I will tell you that we've prepped the sidewall to have cable satellite ready. You have 110 outlets, and you have dual LP quick connects. So you can swing it around in multiple different positions. You can have it underneath your rear awning to stay out of the elements. But if you think about it, who doesn't watch TV? Who doesn't want a cold beverage? Who doesn't cook while they're camping? And the other neat benefit that most people didn't think about when we were developing it is that if you remove two pins, you can literally remove it, stick it in the back of your pickup or Suburban, and take it to your local college or football game tailgate and tailgate right out the back.
Tailgate time, right? Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of tailgating, this patio thing seems to have taken the world by storm, right? So just kind of explain a little bit of the evolution of that.
We have two floor plans here. We have one in our seismic called our 4212, and in my Wave product, which is the Seismic's baby brother, if you will, called the 400W. And what it does is it extends your living space out another 8 feet and potentially 10 foot wide out there. But, you know, we're limited as an RV manufacturer in fifth wheels, most people don't know this, to 430 square feet. So it doesn't really matter how you slice and dice it or cookie cut the floor plan. You cannot go over 430 square feet. If you do, you're not considered a fifth wheel. You're more of a park model. Oh. It's a different set of codes and standards. And that's just not what we do. We're a fifth wheel manufacturer. So what it does is there's no slide room. It does not count against your square footage. But yet I just extended your living space all the way out the side. And it's all covered by your awning. There's some people that would be, they ask the question all the time at shows. Well, I don't know if it'll fit at my campground. So I just ask them the simple question. Can you get your awning out?
Right.
Well, absolutely. The awning goes out further than your ramp patio on the side.
Our family has a travel trailer. We have a White Hawk.
Okay.
And we have a quad bunkhouse, a White Hawk travel trailer quad. Of course, my husband is always thinking about our next trailer. Now, he's gotten a little bit on the toy hauler kick, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. I am not quite 100% on board yet. But I think that there's probably a lot of families that are going to be having that discussion, right, over the next few years as toy haulers become more, like you said, luxurious, more residential feeling. So speak to a family like ours that may be kind of hashing out that decision between a travel trailer and a toy hauler.
You know, it all depends on what your lifestyle is and where you're going to take it, how you're going to use it. I mean, I obviously make travel trailers too. I have my Octane SL line, which is my super light line. I also have my Octane line, which is basically its larger brother, if you will. Those being both travel trailer models, not everybody has the vehicle to pull a big fifth wheel, but they may have the vehicle to pull the travel trailer. This unit that's going to be right across the aisleway here is called our new 30F, and it's literally a fifth wheel floor plan that we made into a travel trailer. It has a kitchen slide, has tons of cabinetry and storage, but yet has 16-foot garage and a 15-foot on the door side, and more seating, more sleeping capacity than you could imagine. It's the trim level won't be as much as what you're going to see in the fifth wheels. The fifth wheels have such a tremendous trim level, from residential refrigerators to washers and dryers to dishwashers, you know, true Corian countertops, you name it, 50-inch televisions, fireplaces. That's the stuff you're not typically going to see in a travel trailer world. But then again, the price point's totally different as well.
Right. So you're saying if you're looking at the travel trailer, you can find that in the toy hauler at any of your different levels.
Yes. If you look at the sizes, if you look at the amenities, let alone how you're going to use it. You know, it all depends on the toys as well. There's some toys out there that could be well over 12 feet long. Well, you know, some of the fifth wheels now, we're getting as big as 16-foot garages in them. Some have 25-foot garages in the fifth wheels. But in the travel trailers, you may be, you know, 10 feet, 12 feet, maybe 16-foot of garage. So it just depends on what somebody's budget is, their lifestyle, how they're going to use it, and more importantly, what their toys are.
Yeah, speaking of how people are going to use these toy haulers, we met someone at a campground that uses their toy hauler to cart around their competitive barbecue cooking units. You know, do you know of different people that use their toy haulers in those kinds of sort of off?
Yes. And that's why you see the explosion of this type of a product, because, you know, like I said, you do not even have to own toys to own it. You have a second living room, second bedroom, you have a bunkhouse, you have all these different things that you would use traditionally camping. However, barbecue competitions and dog shows and antique shows. And like you said, barbecue competitions, I mean, is huge in Texas and the South and whatnot. So we've had people that have gone to different events and used the back patio deck because there's a full deck off the back, and they vended their T-shirts. They were T-shirt vending, literally, right off the back. I had a picture of a customer one time that pulled his Seismic right up to a pond on his family farm and was fishing off the deck, and that was his pier off the back of his Seismic.
Right, why build one?
Correct. And when he was done, he could just leave.
Right.
So it's pretty amazing.
You are obviously a very innovative thinker.
Thank you. You're
very focused on what's next. So tell me a little bit about what you think is next.
Well,
for
I can
the
tell
next.
You where all this design comes from. Not me.
Okay.
It comes from my wife. Are you kidding
me? Oh.
You know?
Where's she?
Happy
I want to talk to her.
Well, I will tell you that, you know, the evolution of this product, too, is it used to be checkerboards on all of the awnings and reds and blacks and NASCAR themes and all this racing stuff. And I hate to admit it, you know, you'd be at an RV show and the husband and wife would walk in and the husband would be like, "Ooh-hoo," and the wife would be like, "No way." Mm-hmm. Today, it's just not like that. In fact, unless they know that they see the back end of it with the garage, they walk in and they truly believe, they think they're in a diesel motorhome in this coach, in a Seismic.
And you really feel like your wife's design sensibility has...
Well, she will look at me and go, "What in the world are you thinking?"
Uh-huh.
But I will tell you, I get a lot of ideas out of... My wife has more home magazines mm-hmm. than you can imagine. And I rifle through those every month. And I look for little styling cues here and there. And then we have a wonderful design team. We call Stacy Stewart Designs is what we refer to it as. Her name is Stacy Stewart. We have Emily Lampkin, which is her assistant, and those two bring us wonderful things from our vendors, our dealer partners, our vendor partners, whether it be, you know, like I have a stone going around my Island Peninsula, mm-hmm. or True Corian countertops, or spring-loaded hidden hinges, and the list goes on and on. So they'll bring us in some different ideas from vendors and whatnot, what's hot, what's not. And then we decide, you know, we put the combinations together and see what works and what doesn't work. And that's basically how the whole idea comes together.
Okay, so definitely if you're, you know, you're referencing these resources for residential design,
correct.
And you can feel that here. What about weights? Do you think that toy haulers are going to start to sort of be segmented the same way travel trailers have been?
Yes and no. I mean, with today's technology and trucks... You know, what was back in early 2000s won't even pull as much as what a half-ton pickup will today. So thank goodness for the big three coming out with the technology of suspensions, motors, horsepower, torque, because it's enabled us to build what the customers are demanding and what they're looking for. And like I said, that 430-square-foot rule, it's tough sometimes to slice and dice it and get everything that a person wants because... You know, you can be at an RV show and somebody will say, "Well, I wish you did this, I wish you did that." If we did everything sometimes on the wish list, it'd be about 50, 60 feet long and cost $600,000.
It'd be a house.
Correct. So, you know, we gotta watch our P's and Q's.
Right.
We gotta be able to hit a price point. We gotta hit the weights correctly. But so far in my world, you know, there hasn't really been a big limit as far as price is concerned because people know to get that, they're going to get all the amenities they want for that price.
You mentioned that you've been with Jayco for about a year and a half.
A year and a half, yes.
And obviously a lot has happened in that time. What is your favorite thing about working with this company?
Well, the nice thing about Jayco, you can't even begin really to tell the list. We are the longest standing privately held company in the RV world, if you will. In fact, we've been in business longer than the number one and two combined have been in business. So it started, like I said, on a family farm, chicken coop in the barn, great Amish values. It was started with a wonderful man, Lloyd Bontrager, and his wife, Bertha, who still serves on the board with us, and just a wonderful person. In fact, she was just awarded the Founders Award. There's only been five individuals in the history of the RV industry that has won that, and it was a real neat thing to go to her award ceremony a couple nights ago. But I will tell you, it just starts with values. Values in Middlebury, Indiana, where we produce the Jayco product, is second to none. In fact, we just celebrated, Sherry Miller is in our order management. She's in charge of that. She just celebrated her 30th anniversary with Jayco. It's the second job other than Burger King that she's ever had. And you know what's crazy? There's over 40 people that have a longer tenure there than what her, than what she is at. And we employ over 2,500 people, and it sits on 350 acres. So it's come a long way from the chicken coop.
Well, Mike, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for educating me a little bit more about the toy haulers that are out there. I'm sure my husband is going to educate me further.
Let him come see
me. Sure he's going to be talking to you, Mike, more in the future about what our options are in the toy haulers. So.
I really appreciate that. No, thank you very much.
Thanks again to Mike Applin from Jayco. That was the perfect starting point, really, for this conversation about pros and cons. Now, this is somewhat personalized to our own thinking and our own tastes about toy haulers, but we think we also hit on some universals that would apply to anybody thinking like toy hauler versus travel trailer.
Yeah, we are going to personalize it in terms of talking through our own thinking for our family. And then we're also going to talk about points that may be of concern or interest to families that look different than ours.
Right. So should we start positive?
Sure. Of course, always.
Okay. Let's do some pros for toy haulers. Only the first one's really obvious. I don't want anyone to hear this first one and go, oh boy. Okay.
Time to turn this one off.
Yeah, time to turn this one off.
Captain Obvious.
Yeah, you have Captain Obvious. That's me. I mean, you have to say it. Room for toys. And the point I want to make is it's not just about ATVs or Harley Davidsons. For me, it's like we have two kayaks, we have five bikes, mm-hmm. we have bodyboards, we have surfboards. Mm-hmm. It's a pain in the neck packing all that stuff right now, currently in our current pickup truck and travel trailer situation.
And the toys are going to get bigger. As the kids get
bigger. The toys and the boys are going to get bigger.
Right. And we've seen that with families that we camp with older kids, right?
Yeah.
And even, I remember when we were going down to D.C. over Thanksgiving weekend, you said to me, do I have to pack the bikes? And I looked at you
I know,
and I was
like, it's
lame
that I say that.
And I said, yeah. Oh, this is a paved campground. I said, oh, please pack the bikes. And you kind of sighed and you're like, okay. But because we bring in our adult bikes, you know, into the trailer.
We bring in the adult bikes into our mm-hmm. Jayco White Hawk, and we put down the dinette table,
right.
And I put down like a cloth, and I put the bikes down on the table.
Yeah.
And it's just, frankly, it's kind of annoying.
Right. So you don't want to, you did it, and then what happened? People rode the bikes all
the
time.
We rode the bikes quite a lot.
Including our friends who came to visit us at the campground, and he was like, how happy was our friend to be riding our bike around the campground?
I don't think he's ridden a bike in 25 years.
That's what camping does to people, right?
So my point here is that room for toys, you know, and Mike referred to this, like the history of the toy hauler was more about off-roading out west. To me, it's about the active family now and the family that likes to get outdoors and has all of those toys, as
right.
it were. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Another pro, the back deck. I find it hard not to like the back deck option, right?
Right?
When you put down the ramp, for those of you who aren't super familiar with toy haulers, when you put down that ramp, not on every single toy hauler. So for some, it's like an extra feature or you pay more for it or it's standard. I mean, you got to look into this. The back deck becomes, or the ramp becomes a back deck.
Mm-hmm. A little patio with usually like sort of gating around
rails
it.
Around
yeah,
it.
You can sit there.
It's on, obviously on the rear of the trailer. And I think that's nice extra living space to sit outside and read, and it also elevates you above the ground. And some people think that's like hoity-toity, but I was thinking of the site we had this summer at the Great Smoky Jellystone right next to that gorgeous stream. And if we had had that back deck, it would have kind of lifted us up and given us this great view of the stream.
Right, and we could have sat out back instead of like in our bunkhouse, the back bunkhouse that was near that stream, like there's no windows on
very
the back.
Limit.
You couldn't
no windows
see.
On the back.
Yeah,
exactly.
You couldn't see the water, but that would have given us this great view out the back. Now, I just want to point out that even our campground correspondent, Carrie Cox, who has a very small travel trailer.
For now.
Yeah. you know, she seems like a minimalist to me, right? Like she's really for practical now. And she wants to like stay light and you know.
Right.
And I took a picture. I remember the very first picture of a toy hauler that I posted on Instagram with one of those back patios, and she was like, "Oh, I love those." And it shocked me.
Well, here's the thing about that back deck is that you don't have to use it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just fold it up and latch it. And
right. People say, "Well, that won't fit at this campground."
And don't use it.
Don't put it down. Right. It's no different than if you didn't have one.
Yeah, but in certain situations, it might really add a nice element to it. Okay. Also, another pro: a lot of the toy haulers we're seeing are prepped for solar panels.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. And I'm not seeing that on traditional travel trailers.
Right.
If it's out there, I'm missing it. But I'm seeing it a lot on the toy haulers. And I would love a toy hauler that's prepped for solar. And I think I would go ahead and get the solar panels.
I would have been interested. And you know what? I should have. It's hindsight's 20/20 with interviews. I should have asked Mike why he thought certain advances like that are being put into a toy hauler.
Why don't you ask your husband?
Okay, is it the price point?
I don't think it's the price point. I think it's, again, that rugged outdoorsy quality that the toy hauler has, and that a lot of toy hauler owners want to go out into the middle of the desert.
Off-grid.
And they want, exactly. Okay. They want to go off-grid with their toys. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you see them prepped for solar more than a traditional travel trailer like ours, where the vast majority of people are going to traditional campgrounds.
Okay.
And even when you see, like in a Go RVing commercial, when you see them show toy haulers, people are out in the middle of the desert, dropping down the ramp.
Nobody.
Out the ATVs. Exactly. So I love that they're prepped for solar. This is huge
number
for me.
Number four.
This is huge for me. Onboard generators. And sometimes you're paying extra, sometimes they're coming standard. You need to check that. I love the fact that toy haulers have the capability to have onboard generators. Now, for those of you who don't know what that means, if you have an onboard generator, you have the ability to run everything in the trailer, including the air conditioning.
This is my number one pro.
It might be mine.
And you were really pushing in the direction of a motorized unit. And one of the reasons why you got me there mentally was because of the generator issue. There's nothing else really about a motorized unit that attracts me. No, I shouldn't say it. There's a couple of things. But the fact that they have a generator and offer you more flexibility in terms of powering off-grid was very attractive to me.
Even not off-grid, like even if you want to go to a music festival or something, and
tailgating,
you just want it to be dry camping.
Yeah.
You don't have to be out in the middle of nowhere for that generator to be really, really valuable.
Yeah.
If you're driveway surfing, staying at a friend's house somewhere, pulling up for the night,
nice
that onboard
house.
Generator is gold. And I don't see those in traditional travel trailers at all. And we look at a lot of those.
Yeah,
right?
We'd have friends probably staying in it at our house.
Absolutely. Another pro, larger black and gray tanks. And I think that that's pretty much the case in most toy haulers. I would love to have larger black and gray tanks.
Yeah, again, so
again,
all
we
three
fill ours
of them,
up pretty quickly.
All three of them are in the same, that all like prep for solar, onboard generator, and larger tanks. They all go together in that sort of like, unplugged capability, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now someone might be saying out there, why do they have larger black and gray tanks, or how do they have larger black and gray tanks? It's because toy haulers are a bit bigger, and we'll get to that in a second. They also tend to have more modern decor as a pro. And that would, you couldn't have said that 10 years ago, but I think with today's crop of toy haulers, you can say they actually do have more modern decor than the traditional travel trailer.
Yeah, so you know, there's the residential feel of many fifth wheels, right? They're trying to bring that more updated look to the toy hauler. Okay, so that's something that you've seen, the recliners, the Mike referenced the countertops, the backsplash, the stone. But again, that's about the weight, right? And the size of these are a little bit bigger than a lot of your regular travel trailers.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you are getting a more modern product in a lot of cases in terms of the look and the feel, all right?
Yeah.
I also love the screen room capability of toy haulers. So when you drop down that ramp on a toy hauler, many, if not most, have a screen that can drop down.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I should say most.
Right.
So you can do a screen instead of having that solid back door.
Right. Well, yeah, because if you have the back deck, you got to have the screen option, mm-hmm. right? Otherwise, it's just the whole trailer's wide open and bugs are going to get in. So with that screen room option, that lets lots of air in, lots of light in. It opens up a huge view of whatever's behind your campsite.
Yeah.
And it just gives you more of that pop-up camper feel, that outdoors feel. And I think that's a terrific, terrific pro.
One of my biggest complaints about the travel trailer is the lack of light and air.
For just like most travel trailers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's not just ours.
Tend to be dark.
Yeah, it is travel trailers in general. And the bedrooms are usually on each end, right? So one is usually in the front and one in the back.
More often than not, no windows on the front and back.
You don't have any windows on the front or the back of those kinds of travel trailers. And that gives me a more closed in feel. Like when we go into travel trailers that have windows in the master, like bigger windows, I'm always like, yes, I want this. So this is a huge feature.
Now, the last pro, and then we'll do some pros and cons, items that are both pros and cons at once, and we'll do cons. But the last pro, we're seeing a lot of removable dinettes. And we both like that. Mm-hmm. We both like the ability to just get rid of the dinette table and maybe not even use it at all.
This has been popping up in models other than toy haulers. And I truly think it started at the toy hauler level.
It's definitely more common there.
Yeah, and I think now it's like eking out to a lot of the different floor plans where people are realizing that there's a flexibility that is there when you don't have this silly, silly, huge booth dinette or U-shaped dinette that takes up so much room and that people feel jammed in sitting in. I'm not kidding. This is my biggest gripe about layouts of travel trailers.
Necessity is the mother of invention here. Now, we're going to talk in a few minutes under the cons about why toy haulers don't have as many slide outs. But because they don't have as many slide outs, they tend to be a bit narrower. So you need to have that capability to remove the dinette tables just to have space in the middle. So I think that that's why this has come up.
Well, it took me a little while to get used to it because I was like, huh, look at this seating that just runs all the way along the side, right? Almost like a theater.
I love that. Right? Yeah.
And it took me a little bit. I was like, we spend time in these RVs a lot of the time, like getting a feel for it. And then all of a sudden my eyes were open. I was like, this is brilliant. You don't need the
table. Tray table. We don't eat inside that much.
Right. We eat outside all the time. We eat inside usually for breakfast and whenever it's gloomy weather. So what I thought all of a sudden was, oh my gosh, you know, like at Target or any of those stores, Pottery Barn, they have those sets of like TV tables. They always have nice holders. They're really cute, nicely designed. You could have a set of those tray tables just tucked away in the corner that somebody could easily just get, open up, and eat their breakfast on. That's what I want.
I want that too. Our family of five can't usually fit around an RV dinette table.
Or somebody's always getting in and out. Oh my gosh, we have a booth. I mean, we have a U-shaped. So once everybody gets seated, that's the exact moment that somebody's going to have to use the bathroom.
Once our boys are seated for a meal, they never get up and leave the table. Oh no, they do 500 times per meal.
Yeah, 500 times. And you're like crawl under the table because I'm not getting up one more time.
So we like that flexibility of just maybe like getting rid of the dinette entirely.
Love it.
Now, here's a list of some pros and cons. So these are like purely a matter of perspective and your own personal wants, needs, desires, and tastes.
Might be a pro, might be a con.
For those of you who are not familiar with toy haulers, the garage area almost always has two electric queen beds where you press a button and they go up to the ceiling to make room for the toys.
Mm-hmm.
You press the same button and these two queen beds drop down. Now, depending on how many kids you have, you may love having those two queen beds. So if you're a family of four, mom and dad are up front in the master bedroom, just like a traditional travel trailer, and you have two kids, they each have a queen bed. That's terrific. They got lots and lots of room. Now, we're a family of five, and that means sharing beds, mm-hmm. right? Where we have four separate bunk beds right now in our travel trailer, which our boys are used to having their own bed.
Yeah.
They've never shared a bed.
They don't. And, you know, some people say, oh, our twins like to cuddle up to, not ours.
Right. So if you have three kids or four kids, it just depends. Do your kids mind sharing?
Right.
And, you know, some of those couches fold down, mm-hmm. of course. But I think that a lot of people don't want to go to the fold down couch if they don't have to. They want to use the beds that are there. So you just need to think about that.
Yeah. Like, what kids get in the fold-down couch.
I mean, there's a huge part of me that wants to have that quad bunkhouse again for my boys and a potential friend or guest.
Right.
Where I'm not going to get that in a toy hall. It's always those queens. It's not your individual bunk. So it just depends on what your preferences are for sleeping.
Yeah. Well, and that's the case for all of the models of travel trailers and Class C's and Class A's. That's what happens is you have one of the biggest questions for you to ask yourself when you're shopping for any RV. Here's a plug for our like research listeners. Do I need designated beds for every member of my family? That will take you down to such a different like range.
It'll limit your options.
Yeah, it'll limit your options.
And look, just to be clear, a toy hauler is not going to have individual bunks. Mm-hmm. They're going to have those queens, those queen beds that drop down.
Yeah.
So it's a pro or a con. It depends on you, okay? Another thing that could be both a pro and a con is that toy haulers tend to be wider and taller. And taller to get the toys in and wider to get the toys in. So if you have limited driveway space like us, it's just something to consider. You got to look at the measurements. I mean, we can fit our current RV in our double driveway.
Kind of.
And get a car in there. But it's on the tight side.
We have to park our trailer perfectly.
We have to park the trailer perfectly to give the car room for the doors to open. So a toy hauler would be wider. It would take up more space in that driveway. So if you have a huge piece of property or a huge driveway, you don't have to worry about it. But if you have a tighter driveway, you do need to look very closely at the dimensions. Then I mean, it could be a positive too, because I love that they're taller. When you're inside,
it feels
like a fifth wheel a little bit because the ceilings are higher. It feels more spacious.
Right. And some of them are fifth wheels, not to confuse anybody. Are fifth wheels.
I must apologize now. In my mind, I'm focusing so much on toy haulers that are
travel trailers,
because that's what we would get.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't get a fifth wheel. So obviously, there's a whole world of options of toy haulers that are fifth wheels.
Yeah.
Now, another reason why it's nice that they're wider is because toy haulers have fewer slide outs, right? And they have fewer slide. I might as well say, I'll say it now. They have fewer slide outs because think about it. You have this huge storage garage in the back. There can't be a slide out on that portion of the RV because it would be sliding into the garage.
To your garage.
To where people are putting their toys.
Right.
Right? So when you look at toy haulers, you're going to go, oh, there's no slide outs. Or there's one small slide out up towards the front.
Right.
Right? So again,
maybe in the living room section or the kitchen section.
Somewhat makes up for it because most toy haulers are wider. So you might not have a slide, but you might have an extra 8 inches.
And okay. I think that's true. I think that oftentimes you don't feel crammed in it, even though there's not a slide.
I have not felt crammed in the toy haulers we have been in, frankly.
And I interviewed Mike in a toy hauler, and we weren't crammed. We were lounging.
Yeah.
We lounged.
Lounging.
On his comfortable couches.
Another thing that could be a pro or a con. Generally speaking, what we're seeing in toy haulers is that they have slightly higher end features, nicer stereos.
Well, Mike talks
nicer
about
speakers,
that a lot.
Nicer appliances. And I think generally speaking, where you're seeing travel trailers floating around in the 20,000s, you're seeing toy hauler travel trailers floating around in the 30,000s.
And then they go up,
yeah.
Of course.
And in the fifth wheels, I don't know if they are more than a traditional fifth wheel or not, but at least in travel trailers, you're definitely seeing a price jump because you're seeing some more luxurious trim items.
Yeah. And, you know, that is a really important point to make, because Mike talked about not buying a house without a garage. Well, at the same time, there are people that are making an RV purchase and they have a budget. Right? Like, because it is expendable income. This is not a house, right? This is not like your mortgage payment. This is an additional spend for a lot of families. So when they say, you know, we have to keep this under $20,000, for a lot of people, that is a very firm price point. And it makes a big difference to jump up to
30. So you might find toy haulers floating out of your price range. That's possible. Mm-hmm. But then for me, I'll be honest with you, I see Sony speakers, you know, in toy haulers, and I think, I would like a nicer stereo in my RV than what I have.
Hindsight's 20/20 though, because when we 4 years ago were buying our travel trailer, to go up into the 30s would have felt like that's a whole nother job.
I mean, budget is everything.
Budget is everything. So, you know, if the travel trailer is your budget,
then it's your budget.
Makes sense for
you. But
your
just
family.
Know that from what we're seeing, most of the companies are going at a bit of a higher price point for their toy haulers, and they're making them kind of a little bit more luxurious. That seems to be the direction they're headed in.
So it's a pro if you want the luxury.
It's a con if you need your budget's to hit, lower. You know, a lower $20,000 20s price or something.
Point. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, now let's go to cons. You don't like that you're seeing a lot of like blue LED lighting, which you call man cave lighting in toy haulers.
Well, and Mike said, oh, we're moving away from the NASCAR design, right? And he is trying to. And when you're sitting with Mike in
pretty
one
progressive
of his
guy.
Toy haulers, the guy who sits there with his wife's design magazines, you can see that he has moved himself out of the man cave. He's not designing this toy hauler in his basement with his foosball table next to him. He is thinking about family design.
Because, and what he said, which I think was brilliant, was it used to be that the, you know, 10 years ago, the man would walk into the toy hauler and go, oh, this is amazing. I want this. And the wife would be like, no, this has got like checkered stripes on the side and it does not look like something comfortable for me.
But in the, I don't know, 20 toy haulers that we've walked into and that, you know, just looking at things for this episode alone, there were many that had that uplighting, right? Like above the cabinets, there'd be like the blue or orange uplighting glow. Give me a break.
Now, I also said to you that I think a lot of just regular travel trailers are also going in that direction of that, those sort of like blue strip lights.
Not on the outside, not the strip, but just like this sort of weird glow, right?
I understand
like,
what you mean,
like
yeah.
You have that
lava
you know,
lamp look.
Yeah, the lava lamp. Or like those basements you pass by and you see like the beer light, you know, right, plugged right. in and hanging in the window of the basement. That's what it reminds me of. Like some guy trying to relive his 20s in the basement of his family home. My God, it's not comfortable.
Now look, under cons here, we have higher price point. We went over that already. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're going to see that higher price point. We also talked fewer slide outs. Now that could be definitely be an issue for people that you're going to have fewer slide outs. You're not going to have that massive interior space because of the slide outs. Another con that we already touched on.
People should think about how much time they spend in their RV. If you spend a lot of time, right, if you're the kind of family that likes to come back at the end of the day and really hang out in your RV, slide outs, I feel like, become very important. When you're the kind of family that goes into your RV to sleep, slide outs are less important.
Yeah, we're not in the RV that much. No. We tend to really be outside from morning to night.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, this is important to me as a con. This is really something to think about. A lot of the toy haulers have fold-down couches to create that garage space so the couches flip up against the wall. Mm-hmm. No matter what brand I've looked at, those couches are not as comfortable as traditional RV couches.
We tested a lot of them.
We did. We tested a lot of them. Now, some toy haulers have those end comfortable couches, and some just have those fold-down couches, mm-hmm. and some just have the more comfortable couches. There's all kinds of combinations of the furniture. Look closely and test out the comfort of the furniture closely in a toy hauler.
Right. And if you sit on the couch, the fold-down couch, and you slide down, you are going to go nuts for the rest of the time you own that RV. Don't think, oh no, I can cope with this. If you slide off the material on the fold down couch and you can't like keep yourself comfortably perched on the couch, that will drive you crazy when you buy that.
I agree. Now, some of the toy haulers are coming with the option to not have those slip-down couches, but to get like captain's chairs. Just really consider your seating and test out your seating a bit more carefully than you might.
Because sometimes people might say, well, that's not important. But we always know that. We always know first-time buyers make sacrifices that they think will be like, oh, that won't bother me. You do that with your house, too. Remember when you're buying your house and you're like, it's okay that there's no storage. We'll just live more simply. Like, you're going like pulling
driving
your hair
you crazy
out.
5 years later you're selling the house.
You have nowhere to store your things, right? So really take the time to say, if I feel like this is going to drive me crazy, let me look for other options.
All right, can we get a toy hauler?
You're not did you think if we did this episode you were going to get an
answer? I thought
answer
the whole point is that like that we would tell all our listeners, like we would announce that we're going to get a toy hauler.
No, this is what I will say. We have yet to walk into a toy hauler that is a fit for our price point, a fit for our family, 5 designated beds, and a fit for our tow capacity.
We can get a new truck.
That's not the right answer.
We could get a more powerful truck. No, but here's the thing. We have looked into a bunch of toy haulers recently. We have not seen all of the floor plans because new floor plans are coming out. And actually, we had as the last con that there are fewer floor plans to choose from. I think that will change because people are, these companies are selling lots of toy haulers, and as they sell them, they'll make more floor plan options. But as of now, the toy hauler is sort of the upstart, and most of the companies are offering 5, 6, 7, 8 floor plans,
right,
and not 20, 25 floor plans.
Right.
So we haven't seen all of them yet, and there's going to be more configurations coming out.
Yeah, well, and we will keep looking at them, but as of right and now, there has been no aha toy trailer
moment.
So
when we have that aha moment, we can buy a new one.
No, we'll do another episode.
You have basically told me that I am not getting a motorhome anytime soon.
Nope.
This is sort of my compromise on that front. Like, if we're not going to get a Class A or a Class C, let's step up to this, the kind of more luxurious toy hauler.
You're giving our listeners
onboard generator, honey.
You're just giving them insight into our daily conversations where I am like,
prepped for solar.
What we have is perfectly fine. We'll be back in a minute to wrap up this episode.
Thank you so much to everyone for listening to episode 67 of RV Family Travel Atlas, Pros and Cons of a Toy Hauler. And thank you to Mike Applin from Jayco for that really great informational, educational, philosophical interview. And thank you to everybody who downloaded Campground of the Week and helped us get that into the new and noteworthy section of the iTunes store.
You rock. We love you guys.
All right. So what do we got next week?
All right. So tune in next week for a Christmas special when Jeremy tries to wrap up a toy hauler and get it under our Christmas tree.
It would fit. Join us next week on Men and Their Rigs as we talk about lava lamps and blue LED strip lighting.
Oh, you're moving down to the basement.
Can we please get a toy hauler? Please.
Oh, maybe next year.